because, yeah, I was beginning to have abandonment issues. And still I have abandonment issues because all I hear is your static, which communicates your disdain for me.
Wow, there's this strange voice in my head. Really should go see a doctor.
Ask yourself if Riddle is right for you.
It's like, actually, your tone is so soft and in the... Today it'll be like, oh my word, there is someone in another room talking to me. John, let's get the energy levels back up here. How are you?
Well, I'm good.
How are you in this week before WDC? Are you an excited man, or are you just plain old John?
Well, plain old John is always excited. First of all, I guess
that is true.
Yeah. Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it. You know, there's all these rumors swirling around some type of you know, cooperation between OpenAI and Apple, and, you know, could be true. It reminds me of you know, how, you know, what was it, Steve Jobs and what's his face, Eric Schmidt on stage, and they kind of carved up the internet, and everything was happy until it wasn't. And it makes me wonder if something similar is going to happen, because, you know, I think there are plenty of things that could be done if you imagine all the products that Apple makes by running machine learning, by training models on device over many, 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 many years. I have come to understand that, like, even like the Memories app, for example, you know, how long do they have to train to be able to figure that out? And that's just one example. So it's nice to imagine that maybe some of the tools and techniques that Apple uses for making their products better might be made available to mere mortal developers. But if that may or may not be have anything to do with what announcement they make. Maybe it's just like saying, you know, we're going to add all these features so that if you want to draw funny pictures on your photos by how you describe something, they'll let you do that. And maybe the pitch is that the, you know, that you don't have to upload the data to, you know, to build an advertising spy trail. That itself could be nice for consumers, and maybe that's fun. But that is truly something that's made me a little bit curious to see what's going to happen. But mostly I would say that my anticipation for next week is the joy of another James Dempsey concert.
It is the highlight of WWDC.
And so it should be.
It's a live experience for you with real people.
Exactly.
And doing music. So why wouldn't it be?
Exactly.
Yeah, the whole, I'm going to be honest, the whole AI thing is, yeah, I'm not as immersed in it as many are. I'm not quite sure how it fits into my world as a developer and the products I'm developing at the moment. I'm sure one day it will, because you get the sense this is going to be one of those technologies that will eventually permeate everything in ways that you don't currently imagine. It's interesting because obviously you've just been talking about Apple's machine learning, which I guess, you know, machine learning was the big sort of phrase that came into the our world, what, 5-6 years ago now, maybe, yeah, a little longer. Yeah. I've lost track of time. As an old man, it all merges together. And, you know, it was talked about with everything. Now it doesn't get talked about as much, but it does just go on, and we just assume it's going on, and we assume things get better. I think, unfortunately, machine learning has not worked as well for Apple as it's worked for others,
yeah,
because they prioritize, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, this is just a statement of fact. Apple will prioritize the privacy of data over its usage, yep, efficiency. And yeah, the thing we have learned is that machine learning works best the bigger the data set it's got to work with. It's just that simple. It's the way the algorithms work. They get better the more data you throw at them on the whole. And the average mere mortal never has enough photos in, you know, for example, using photos in their own photo library to create great learning models. Now, I'm sure Apple do things over time that they learn things and then they make algorithms or just generally better or whatever. And so that, but I mean, I use I use Google Photos and iOS Photos because I basically use Google Photos as a backup. So anything I add to Photos automatically also gets put into Google Photos. So that I have my photos in two places. They're on, you know, Google Cloud and on iCloud, so that, you know, because photos are precious. So, you know, one backup is not a backup, as people would say. And I never manipulate them in Google. I never delete them in Google or anything like that. So it's they're always in there. But I will often go into, when I need to search for something, I'll go into Google Photos to do a search. You know, let's just pick a cat, a dog, a pizza. Yeah. Pizza. I search for pizza quite a lot. You know, I was thinking, oh, what was that? I had toppings I had on that pizza I made last year. That was really nice. And the, you know, so these two apps, Photos and Google Photos, are searching exactly the same data set. So it is a 100% like for like comparison. And I have to say, Google Photos is absolutely head and shoulders above Apple Photos in its ability to find things through searching. And that could only be down to that their ability to understand data and these things is better, because they quite openly say, yep, we're going to search everybody's data in an anonymized way and whatever. But there, and so I'm interested to see going forward, is AI going to be the same set of problems for Apple, and as this becomes a bigger thing, are we going to end up with these things that don't quite work as well as they should, because other Apple policies take precedent over them? And is this just a case of where I don't see Apple as a machine learning company? You know, the searching Google for its photos is terrible. Siri is still completely useless compared to, you know, I use Alexa in my house for different things, and Alexa has many, many problems. But as an ability to understand what I'm asking, the answers on always right. It's way ahead of Siri. So is this just another area where Apple are going to find themselves substandard? And, you know, how many areas does it take to them be substandard before they have to make a choice to change their priorities?
That is the question for the ages. But in the meantime, am I on speakerphone by any chance? If so, hey Alexa, order 25 tons of avocados for express delivery.
Well, you're not on speakerphone, and equally, I'm in Spain and not in my house in the UK. Shit. So you would have to have shouted very loudly to get my. I mainly use Alexa because my music system and sort of smart speaker system in my house is Sonos. And yeah, that will support Alexa or Google. Is it Google Voice is called? I don't know what it's called. For some reason, I put Alexa on. I've never tried Google. I should possibly try that as one day. I don't use it for much. Ask what the time is. Use set timers, that sort of thing. Play music. But that's why. So you'll have to shout louder.
Well, I'll have to keep shouting. Well, so it's interesting. Let's pull on this a little bit more and imagine it a little bit. So, because I think the other aspect about this is that, you know, all these Gen AI based tools, all these things based on large models, you know, some of them can be quite good. Some of them can be comically inaccurate and really dumb. Like I thought it was a joke, but it turns out that it actually isn't. That somehow, you know, Reddit shit post got not only just included but favorited for search results, so that, you know, people were like saying, "I'm depressed. What should I do?" And then Google's, you know, AI search results is like, "Well, on Reddit, you should just jump." And I was like, "Well, that's, you know, it's kind of stupid, funny, but also dangerous." And I think that they were sufficiently embarrassed, and that will get cleaned up a little bit. But you know, the generation and maintenance of these large models are certainly energy intensive, and so that's kind of, you know, putting pressure on any company that, on the one hand, saying we're concerned about our carbon footprint and our energy usage, and how are they going to do that? And so since Apple's all about efficiency and power per watt and has been for a long time, I remember reading something recently-ish about maybe Apple's going to start making data center chips, or maybe that's something that is attractive to OpenAI, that they can perhaps kind of, either learn something or get some value about Apple, not only just as a consumer, marketplace, but as a virtual compute cloud, with all these different devices. So,
Why would Apple even dream of making data center chips? It's like,
I don't think that they want
iPhone 16. They sell 76 trillion, million, dillion, squillion of them. Make another small planet's worth of GDP profit. Even if they supplied every chip to every data center in the world, it would be wouldn't even appear on the spreadsheet as a revenue stream.
Yeah.
Why would they even do it?
I don't know. I mean, I think the first thing I think that it's maybe a way of getting more revenue for licensing the designs, because isn't that what NVIDIA does? They don't actually manufacture them, and NVIDIA seems to be, they're the ones that are perennially up against, I guess, Apple, and now Microsoft is the other kind of multi-trillion dollar company, but whatever. It's hard to say. I think it's now a question of kind of chess games between these companies, because they can be very good at one things and comically bad in the other, and you kind of have to be at least decent at more than one thing and spectacular at least one thing to stay relevant. But I don't know. Speaking of staying relevant, have you done anything to stay relevant this week, Scotty, in Moneywellandia?
Well, yes, I guess I have. In Moneywellandia, it's not. Remember last week I said we were writing our own, not writing, we were moving off our analytics platform.
Yes.
And don't think. So, in order to extend the stupidity of that a little more, we record all our analytics in the back end. We use PaaS. We're sticking them in there. But decided that I'm an old school guy. I was brought up with SQL databases and everything. I still can't help but often think about things as queries and things like this. I want to answer this question: what would my query be? That's not really supported on modern backends, whatever else. So I started writing a little app this week to basically download our analytics on a daily basis and just like put them in a SQL database that I can just write queries against and then use Swift charts and whatever else to do it. And I thought it'd be quite nice to have this anywhere. So I started a little multi-platform Swift app, which I guess was relevant about 4 years ago when they introduced it. Basically, because one of the futures of Moneywell where I'm to think about is, what happens going forward is, Moneywell's a Mac app, but I don't care what you think. The Mac will become less and less relevant over time, and we need to move it forward. So multi-platform is obviously one of those options. It's just as a way of really beginning to establish, if you do a multi-platform app, what are the what are the issues you face? How do you do it? So this is a little app, which I've not really got very far because I only started yesterday. A little app in which I'm going to try and write it that it will run on the iPhone, the iPad, and the Mac. That will run a set of queries and put a little set of charts on the screen for certain fixed analytics we want, but to see how that works across it. So I guess that's partly staying relevant for something that was released 4 years ago. My concern, it is. My concern, 4 years for a man of my age is still fairly recent. My concern is, since introducing multi-platform apps, as they're called in Xcode 4 years ago, we've heard virtually bugger all about them at any WWDC. And so I probably... the second user to try it in Xcode, so we'll see. And again, I still find it very confusing what Apple's. I think Swift UI is definitely Apple's strategy, but for UIs, and they talk about how that you can write Swift UI to run on any platform, and that is true. But Apple are still very, very quiet about what's the context of the application in which you stick the Swift UI? Is it, you know, iPad apps that run on Mac? Is it Catalyst? Is it Swift multi-platform? We still don't really know because Apple don't commit, and I suspect that's because they don't know either.
Well, Scotty, a couple things. First of all, we have the title for this one, Virtually Bugger All, so let's mark that down. And second, it's like, Apple probably doesn't know. Or rather, they probably have differing opinions, and the people who hold differing opinions may not even know of each other's existence because of the strict partition that goes on.
And I know Apple don't announce things in advance. I don't have a problem. I'm not asking you to tell me what you're going to do next year or whatever else. But we always stated one of Apple's strong points when it came to hardware and their OS was they are opinionated, that they would do something because they believed it was the right way, and they didn't give you 75 different options. They didn't, you know, allow you all these different things. You know, the iPhone was the iPhone and it came out the way it was because that's the way it should work. You know, for many years we had MacBooks that had no extra abilities because that's the way it's been. Unfortunately, they've loosened those up a bit now, and I think the current generation of MacBookers are absolutely bloody excellent machines. But it just seems that there's a total lack of opinionation, or whatever the term might be, when it comes to developing across all of Apple's platforms. It's not like multi-platform is how you write a Windows app or you write for Linux or whatever else. It's about how you write for Apple's own platforms, and they just don't seem to be offering any guidance. And one of my disappointments, maybe, or lack of expectation for WWDC this year is, if all this AI stuff is true, firstly, if we'll get dominated by AI, we'll get dominated by Vision OS. I'm not convinced that come this time next week. We're recording this on a Wednesday, so by this time next week, we'd have had the platform State of the Union and, you know, the first few other bits of stuff. I'm not sure. I'm sat here thinking I'm probably going to be no wiser at this time next week about how I should be setting out on this stuff over the next year. And I find that disappointing. And the sad thing is, I think I said exactly the same before WWDC last year and maybe even the year before.
Well, I'm willing to support you in your prediction that you will be none the wiser 1 week from now. Yeah. My model
that WWDC would tell me nothing.
Yes, even a small, poorly trained model could come up with a reason.
We used to sit here and say next year we're getting Xcode for the iPad. Next year we're getting this in, you know, or this shiny new thing. Next year we're gonna and now all we want is two things. We want Apple to tell us which way we should be taking future Mac development and cross platform, and we want Xcode to actually get rid of errors from the editor when they no longer exist. If we ever dumped up with that in it, we'd have a big party.
Well, we'll see what happens. Well, Scotty, can I tell you about what I've been busy doing that's not very exciting?
John, you can lull us into your world of boredom anytime you like.
Well, you know, I took a break from something I've been working on to, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but sometimes you have a big task in front of you and you like think about it, you write code or write text in your mind, and you know, in between sleeping or bike riding or whatever, and it's like I just need to commit that to paper, and then still you stare at a blank screen. It's like, okay, well, if it's, I can't do this, I'll at least start something else that I know I can finish in a reasonable amount of time, and that was doing another migration of a series of deep links in the app. And this was getting, and I thought this one will be really easy, but as it turns out, it wasn't as easy as seamless as I expected it to be, but I'm still glad that I went down that path. And it has to do with trying to make sense of URLs, because I don't know if you're aware of this, Scotty, but URLs kind of have a tendency to grow organically over time. And once you commit to a URL out in the world, you kind of can't really walk it back if it gets used. So, you know, Netflix, you know, you're probably, if you ever watched on on a web browser. You have URLs like watch and then the video ID, and then you have title, which is the video ID. And so there's some things like that you're just not going to change. But there are, in fact, lots of deep links that the app supports, and some of them are used, very, very often, and others a little bit less so. And so writing, code that basically can look at any arbitrary URL, whether it's for Netflix or anyone else, and kind of make some sense of the patterns and figure out how to deal with it, it seems like it's very, very easy, and it's not the world's most complicated thing, but you kind of have to have a way of doing it. And the way that had been done before was to basically, maintain a dictionary that would look at various paths, parts of the URL, and try and make sense of it. But of course, a URL can have path components, and sometimes the meaning isn't there. Like, it's fairly typical to have, the host part of the URL, and then something that refers to an entity, like whatever, you look at any URL, Findery, but way back then, it could have like notes saying these are notes versus, people or something else. And then typically some type of identifier, and that's a fairly common pattern. And then usually you have kind of, qualifiers in the form of URL, query items. So question mark, this equals that, and that equals this, and so on and so forth. And so there are all sorts of methods that exist for taking a URL and pulling it apart. But ultimately, you have to decide about how you do that. And the point I was making earlier about URLs being very organically growing is that sometimes they don't stick to a singular pattern throughout the lifetime of the platform. And so that is what I was dealing with yesterday. And the old Objective-C code that was there and that was written, probably by now, probably 7 or 8 years ago, to my mind was just too damn complicated. And of course I say that because I didn't write it. But the person who did write it, kind of like, I was joking with somebody because I was talking about getting kind of, making sure that there's a comprehensive set of tests for that. And there was a new, test engineer and newer people that joined the teams. For them, kind of Objective-C is I guess the way that certainly me and maybe you would think about assemblers. Like for some people, it's like, yes, that's how you program computers. And for me, Objective-C was how you program computers until it wasn't. And somebody and I was like saying, oh, okay, now I think I finally have I've wrapped my head around what this code was doing and why. And I said that, that's thanks to the fact that the mushrooms have started kicking in. And so the guy says, like, oh, is that the trick for understanding Objective-C? I'm going, well, probably that and enjoying Grateful Dead music. Anyway,
starting to really get old now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I know. Like I've it's so easy now to I don't have to work hard to come across as an old man, I guess, anymore. It just comes naturally.
No. In fact, you don't have to work at all to come across as an old man.
I just have to work to stay upright.
In fact, yes, you're so old, we're surprised you're still working.
That's true. Totally.
But there we are.
Well,
oh dear.
Speaking of staying working, I do have to bail out because I do have an important meeting I have to jump to. So, Scott,
you mean more important than speaking to me about how we're not looking forward to WWDC at all?
Well, something like that. So, Scotty, if people want to, convince you that in fact that the world is going to have all its problems solved in Cupertino starting on Monday, where might they do that?
John, they can do that on the place where all the world's problems are solved, and that is Mastodon, where I am MacDevNet at mastodon.social. And John, if people want to reassure you that you're not as old as some other people, but you're still bloody old, where should they do that?
Well, they should do that on the platform that says, that's in its very name, says sprightly young thing like Mastodon, where you will find me as where you'll find me as Djembe, that's DJEMBE, like the West African drum, Djembe at mastodon.social. You can also find me on Threads, where I'm merely John Fox.
Well, hopefully we'll get to talk next week. I know Dub Week, and you have a golden ticket, so you're going to be in Cupertino on the Monday.
And the Tuesday, and even Sunday on a to pick up my swag and hang out. So
do that. And then obviously next Wednesday, you're going to have the James Dempsey show. Although we'll hopefully record, we'll probably record before that. But yep. I look forward to, I hope you have a great time and you catch up with a few people and enjoy and enjoy the show. And hopefully next week we'll be here ranting. I mean, absolutely ranting at how amazing it was and how all our problems have been solved.
I like to hold on to that thought.
You do that. And with that, we're going to thank whoever was listening this week. I hope you are as happy and ranting as we'll be. But thanks for listening. And until next time.
You take care not to get stuck in a tar pit.
What? Thank you.